Is your faith dead or alive? Your faith, not the faith. We understand that the faith is alive and well because it is the faith that causes life, that gives life. Jesus Christ gave us his word, and his word is able to give us life. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, my words are spirit and they are life. We understand that when we go to the word of God, it helps us. It is what encourages us, guides us, strengthens us. But we have to have faith in the faith, our faith. Yesterday, we were talking about having courage, confidence, and character. And we want to build on that. As we look in the book of James, as we study this great book, when we consider what is faith, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 11 and verse number 1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. God knows that he wants faith in us. And you know that it is impossible to please God without faith. Very impossible. God wants us to trust him, rely upon him, have confidence in him. And when we have that, then we can be just like that centurion in Luke chapter 7, when he told Jesus, just speak and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said in Luke 7, verse number 9, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. You know, faith, that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have that confidence in him, which helps us to be courageous. And our faith needs to be based upon the faith. A couple of things I want us to talk about before we get into the book of James. And it's in your outline that I gave you, and we're going to briefly be going by that and through that. But if this generation, if you are going to be a faithful people, notice, you must exercise trust in God and in his word. You have to believe his word, meaning that when you go to the righteous instructions of God, you have to believe that. And one thing that God is looking for in your faith is genuinity. God wants you to be genuine. He wants you to be real, if I can say it that way. Be real not only with him, but with yourself. And when you are real with yourself, then you can go to God's word and know that this is what's best for me. And one thing about love, love does what's best for another. And God loves you so much that he gave you righteous instruction that will help you and guide you through life. But you have to have trust. You have to have faith. You have to know that what God has said in his word is what's best for you. And that's difficult at times. It's difficult because we have our own mentality, our own will, our own way of thinking at times, but God wants you to trust him. So exercise trust. Develop unity in your heart with God, you and God. And when you do that, then you'll be able to offer hope and display confidence in your life. Hope? Confidence? Yes. What does that have to do with faith? A whole lot. A lot. Because God wants you to fully trust him, young people. And we're going to get deeper into this particular thought because when we don't exercise that trust that God wants us to have, then we find ourselves doing things and thinking things and find ourselves in positions that we normally wouldn't find ourselves. Whether you're young or whether you are out of high school, in college, it doesn't matter. God wants you to exercise faith, which will help you to have assurance in who God is and not be ashamed of your Lord and your master. In James chapter 2, there's very interesting things that goes on in verses 14 through 26. And we're going to look at that. But before we get to that, we know that we are confident with God when we do what God has instructed us to do in his word. I mean, you can know for a fact that God is pleased with you when you exercise his will. You can go to bed at night. You can have a clear conscience, which means that when you don't do what God has told you to do, then your conscience is not going to be clear. Well, it shouldn't be. You're not going to have that assurance of knowing that you're doing what God would have you to do. Real quick, when we consider the book of James, James is the writer of this book. And in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, James calls himself a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, a servant. A servant is one who does the will or the mission of their master. And if we're going to have the faith that is alive, I really don't want to talk about dead faith. If I talk about that which is alive, then you'll know what is dead. But the very fact that James did what God wanted him to do, he identifies himself as the servant of Jesus Christ, or of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice who he's talking to in verse number 1. To the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. And then in verse 2 he says, my brethren. We come from the same family. We come out of the same womb of Christ. We have obeyed the same gospel. That great news that establishes faith in our lives. That gives us the hope that we need. Young people, we ought to be servants. Not servants of sin, Romans 6. But servants of righteousness, servants of Jesus Christ. Is your faith alive or is it dead? James, the brother of Jesus, according to Galatians 1 and verse number 19, Mark 6 and verse number 3. This is Jesus' half-brother, if you will. And if anything, James knew Jesus, grew up with Jesus. Maybe didn't believe everything that he said as he was growing up, but eventually he became a servant of Jesus Christ. Not only is he my brother, but he's my master. Isn't it ironic that Jesus Christ is our brother and our master? Oh, what a powerful thing. But he's our Lord as well, our Savior, our guide. Our faith must be in him. But why? Why is this book so powerful? Why is having our faith in the faith very important, young people? Because this particular book, and we're not going to get into the teachers' studies on this morning, but just kind of an overview of the first two chapters. Here we see in James 1 and verse number 5, it teaches us direction. It gives us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Our faith must be wise enough to understand that I need to ask God for direction. I can't lean on my own understanding, Proverbs 3, 3 through 5. And when I do that, God is certainly going to guide me and direct me in the right way. So when I have those struggles and those problems and those questions in my mind, I can go to God and know that God is going to lead me. But I have to have faith in the faith. I have to have faith in Jesus Christ. I have to have faith in my God, not myself. Not my friends. Not things that I read on the internet. I like that commercial. You know, where did you get that information? From the internet. You can't put anything that's not true on the internet. Ain't that crazy? We could trust this. We could trust God. And if we allow God's word to rest, rule, and abide in our hearts, it will help us. But stand faithful while we walk in this life. James 1 and verse number 8. For God doesn't want to deal with people who are double-minded. A two-souled individual. My faith must be in Jesus Christ. I cannot walk with God and with Satan. I have to make up my mind. Is your faith alive or is it dead? Jesus said in Matthew 12, you're either gathering or scattering. You're either bringing people into Christ or you're pushing people out of Christ. You're either the light of the world or you're the darkness of the world. And young people, you have to make up your mind now that you want to be the light. You want to be that ray of light. You want to have strong faith. You want to develop that faith. And as you do that, you will not be double-minded. You won't put yourself in a position where, well, I mean, I look like a Christian, but then again, I don't. I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but I don't act like I'm a Christian while having that boyfriend or girlfriend. No, God says, make up your mind. Make up your mind. But then in verse number 12, we stand against the allurements of sin, keeping in mind that God is not going to put sin in front of us. God does not tempt man with evil, neither is he tempted by evil. We can't blame God for sin in our lives. If anything, it is God that gives us a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13. He's the one that is on our side. He wants our faith to be strong. So why would God put stumbling blocks in front of us if he wants us to overcome that? The very reason why he sent his son Jesus Christ, young people, is so that you won't have to struggle with sin. So you can make a conscious decision to live for righteousness and not for unrighteousness. Young people, believe us. And believe those of us who have dabbled with sin at one time or another in our lives. And because of that, we have the scars of sin. You don't want it. I guarantee you, your faith will be diminished if you begin playing with sin. You don't want to. And there's not a person on the face of the earth that can play with sin and not come out with scars. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Can't happen. But God wants us to have faith that is alive. But then you look at verse number 26, keep in mind to care for the needy. Oh, God wants us to be balanced, to look out for the needs of others. How strong is your faith? Look at James chapter 2, the first 13 verses. Don't mistreat people. I mean, don't treat people good because they have money, because they have material wealth, because they have something to offer you. He says, don't do that. As a matter of fact, the poor man, you need to treat him like you treat the rich man. Amen. Why? Because we're all made in the very image of God. You know, sometimes the world in which we live in, depending on how much money you make, how many houses you own, how many cars you own, what you're worth, that depends on how we treat you. But no, I'm so thankful to God that the poor man and the rich man can have eternal life with him. And they're going to receive the same salvation. So who are we to mistreat people because they don't have anything? Or who are we to treat people right because they have a lot? We'll talk about that later on this evening. Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Is your trust in accumulating a lot of wealth? Or do you have the type of faith that doesn't matter what I have, as long as I have Jesus, I'm okay? Amen. Really, that's strong faith right there. That's strong faith, young people. But you live in a very materialistic world. You live in a world that really doesn't care about being poor. But as long as you're in Christ, you're not poor, you're rich. You're wealthy. Verses 14 through 17, notice what your Bible says. Very powerful. Is your faith dead or alive? Alive or dead? Notice James chapter 2, 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. That's dead faith. That's when you see someone who is in need, especially a brother. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. As you therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially. And I love how the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul puts the word especially there. Especially those in the household of faith. Your brothers and sisters in Christ ought to be treated better than those in the world. Young people, you have to get that in your head. That your faith needs to be substantiated in that. You need to know that. You need to exercise that. And when you do this, God is pleased with you. But notice more dead faith, verses 18 through 20. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" In the notes, you'll see here later on that, well, these are in my notes, not yours. Sorry about that. Our faith should not resemble the faith of demons. What does that mean? We shouldn't be all about talk. It should be about action. It's not enough to accept or to hear, instruction from your parents, from your Bible school teacher, from the pulpit, and just acknowledge it as just being good information, but not put it into action. It's not enough. If you want the abundant life like God promised us in John 10 and verse number 10, you take the instruction and you put it into action. You put it into action. You take those instructions and you live it out in your life. And I guarantee you, you will begin to have a living faith. Notice verses 21 through 24. Abraham, we're going to see faith that is alive, young people. And then you have to ask yourself, do I have dead faith or living faith? Faith that is alive is faith that acts upon the information, that acts upon the instruction, acts upon the word of God. Notice verse 21 through verse 24. Was not Abraham, our father, declared right, justified by works, when, there's our word, that's the time word, when he offered his son Isaac, when he offered, God blessed him because God knew that he loved him. And the question we have to ask ourselves, young people, when do I display my love for God? When you do what God has asked you to do. When you have done what is in the word of God for your best interest. All of us are tempted. You are tempted in many ways, so many ways. And we always talk about the drugs and the sex and the alcohol. But, you know, we can go deeper than that. How about the gossiping and the complaining and the things of that nature? Amen. Because we live in a very non-content world. We're not content with what we have. We're not content with the things that God has blessed us with. No, let's not complain. Let's not gossip. Let's not backbite. Let's exercise some faith, true faith, and do what God has told us to do, asked us to do, because we love him, because you love him. There's not a child in here right now that's living impoverishly. I can tell. Now, you may not have more than others, but you're living well. And why do we complain? Why do we complain? Because we see our friends having something that we want. Young people, don't be like that. Make up your mind that you're going to have faith that is strong and walk according to that faith. Be like Abraham, who believed in God and was willing to sacrifice his son all because God said so. But then notice Rahab, verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot? The harlot? One who was outside of the realm of God, one who was practicing sin in her life, justified, declared right. Notice, when, that's a time word right there, when we do what God tells us to do, when we do that, we are then justified, young people. Let me talk to you for a couple seconds. God wants us to obey him, but it starts with obeying your parents. Y'all listen. Your parents have been around the block a couple times. You know, I think it might be possible that your parents might know a little bit more than you. Just a little bit. Not much, but just a little bit. Just a little bit. Which means that I think it is worthy for you to listen to them. Especially when they take Bible principles, take the Word of God, and they say, well, what does God want you to do, young people? Son, what does God want you to do? God wants you to live a healthy life, a spiritual life, a life that is not corrupted by sin. He wants your life to be in unison with one another. Your speech and your life ought to match one another. In the notes, you'll see, I said, does your audio match your video? I used this a couple weeks ago. And, you know, y'all remember those, maybe the old folk, y'all don't remember this, but the old folk, they remember those karate movies, and he said, you want to fight? Fight me. And it was never together. They're sitting there, everybody, they're like, what's going on here? The audio didn't match the video. You know, the same thing with spirituality. We talk one thing and live another way. God doesn't want that. Your audio, hey, how you doing? You see, it's matching. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. That's not right. That's what God doesn't want. God wants us to match up. Our faith must be alive. A couple questions in the lesson is yours. I'll let you go here. How can you know that your faith is a saving faith? And what does it look like? By simply striving to live accurately for God. It's intentional. We said that yesterday. You have to make up your mind every single day, I'm going to live for God. You're about to start school. You have to make up your mind that you're not going to associate yourself with people who are going to take you off the beaten path of God. But keep in mind, you have to be balanced. You have to be that salt of the earth. You have to be that light of the world. You have to be that city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. The only way that salt is going to taste good on a steak, it got to come out of the shaker. Which means that you have to be an influence and not allow the world to influence you. By making Christianity intentional, by developing and demonstrating discipline. We talked about this yesterday. But here, let us see. By measuring your growth, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examining yourself. You know, that's one of the things that even us as grown-ups fail to do at times. We don't look at our lives. Your faith cannot grow if you don't measure it. If you don't know where you started that day. Look at your life every single day. God, what are you teaching us here? To discipline yourself. To look at where you are so your faith can grow, so your faith can be alive. So when you see people, take the opportunity to help them. Take the opportunity to teach them. Take the opportunity to love them. Acts 10 and verse 38, Jesus went about doing good. Take those opportunities. So what? Your classmates are going to be acting like a fool in class. That doesn't mean you have to. Exercise faith. Your faith must be alive. Just don't go with the program. Go against the grain. And God will be pleased with you. So what does it require? I wish I had time to develop this. It requires victorious thinking. But it requires you mastering that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Wow. Adding to your faith. Do you understand, young people, that God doesn't want us to just think right, but he wants us to master it? He wants us to be just like his son, mastering over self, mastering over lust, mastering over those things that cause us to go astray. God wants us to master that. And you can't do it if you walk around thinking that you can't do it. You have to tell yourself, I can do this. You can think victoriously. You can live a victorious life. You can be more than conquerors. But it's only through Jesus. And it's only by making sure that you think properly. Garbage in, what's the rest? Garbage out. Righteousness in, what's the rest? Let's try it again. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. Garbage in, righteousness in. That's pretty simple. Where's your faith? Is it dead or alive? This is where you get it. Brother Bonner, I understand that. And I know that. But I don't have time to read. I don't have time to study. I mean, I got YouTube videos to watch. I got Candy Crush to play. Y'all be crushing. You know what? Those little old captions on Facebook, you know, Candy Crush rehab. I think we probably do need a rehab. 30 days with no Candy Crush. Like he's over there, she's convulsing. Why? No Candy Crush. No Facebook, no tweeting, no phone, no words with friends. They'll probably get me. What are we saying? What is it going to require? It's going to require us stepping back and looking at our lives, having victorious thinking. Go to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Victorious thinking will help our conscience to be saturated with love. Genuine faith, a faith that is alive, has to begin in your conscience. In the deep thoughts, in the recesses of your mind, where God communicates with your heart, with the word. God, what do you want? I want to be in your deep thoughts. You know the problem with that sometimes? We don't slow down enough to think deeply. We want folk to think for us. But God says, I want you to think for yourself. I want your faith to be rich. I want it to be pure. I want it to be alive so you can be my servant. Three things we see. We see that Paul is encouraging Timothy to have a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned, sincere faith. Three things. All of them dealing with the conscience, dealing with the heart. And if your faith is going to be what God wants it to be, young people, if it's going to be a faith that's going to be alive, like James talks about, that when you get instructions, then you act upon it, it has to start in your heart. So every teacher, I know for a fact that we have here, Brother Baker, Brother Olmos, Brother John, Carla, Brother Justin, they're aiming at your heart. You know, when people say you stepped on my toes this morning, I say, I'm sorry, I failed you. I was aiming at your heart. I know what that meant. But God is aiming at our hearts. He wants our faith to be alive, and it starts right now. Paul, I want you to have a pure heart. I want you to have a good conscience. I want you to have sincere faith. And all three of those things are wrapped in love. Saturated with love. Saturated with the word of God. Saturated in deep commitment toward God. Deep commitment. A couple things real quick. God wants us to have an attitude of love and a badge of service. It's in your notes. But the reason why I wanted to bring that out as it relates to having genuine faith, faith that is alive and not faith that is dead, is because these are the things that we are known by, identified by. We're identified by love. The world's going to know that you are his disciples by the love you have one for another. We're identified in the church by the service. You want to be great, learn how to serve. You know, dead faith is when you don't want to love everyone. Dead faith is when you want to be served and not looking for opportunities to serve. God wants us to be alive. Lastly, we've got 2 minutes. Are you controlling your tongue? Are you watching what you're saying? Are your words with grace seasoned with salt? Colossians 4, verse 6. Are you making opportunities to develop your heart, to use wisdom? Look for opportunities to grow, to have a rich faith. Trust in God, not in yourself. Don't trust yourself, trust God. And when you do that, when you develop that trust in God, then you slowly begin to trust yourself because you begin to think like God. Your decisions are based upon God. Everything is about Him. Are you truly attempting to get closer through to God through submission? And are you realizing that you need those who may be wiser than you? Young people, all of us need someone who is wiser than us. I spent 45 minutes the other night talking to my mother, who is a Christian, giving me information and instruction in preaching. Brother Washington, she's never been a preacher, but she reads the book. Amen, brethren. You can get wisdom. It doesn't matter how old you are. And I'll end with this. Young people, do not get to the point of life where you think you don't need wisdom. Your faith is either going to get strong or is it going to become weak. It's either going to be alive or it's going to become dead or it's going to die. All behind you not humbling yourself or humbling yourself. May God bless you.